Leaders. You're listening to Leaders.com.
Alhamdulillah wa kafa. Wa salamun ala ibadihi allazina istafa. Amma ba'd. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والنجم إذا هوى ما ضل صاحبكم وما غوى وما ينطق عن الهوى إن هو إلا وحي يوحى صدق الله العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم Honorable brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters that are listening, a very powerful organ of the body is your tongue. And it is your tongue that actually reveals your real character, who you are. And the tongue has this very important duty in life, the decisions that it will make, and that will direct you either towards Jannat or Jahannam. And so that is why in the Quran Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, ما يلفظ من قول إلا لديه رقيب عتيد. That when you utter the words and some form of a speech is formulated, then immediately لديه رقيب عتيد. The angels are there, the scribes are there. Your technology can make a mistake. The best computer can make a mistake. The most expensive technology in the world can be wrong. But the malaika never make a mistake in recording each and every word that you have uttered in your lifetime. And so from the time you were born and mumbling, from your mumbling to the time of Sakarat, from mumbling to the time of Sakarat, the very last words that you might want to say in that difficulty, in that pain, everything has been recorded. Your total words, what you have uttered, what you have said, everything is raqib and atid. It is registered, everything. And so your tongue is a very powerful organ. So how are we to take control of the tongue? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also mentioned in the Quran about a group of people who are the most intelligent. Who are the people who are intelligent? The Quran calls them Ulul Albab, the people of intellect, very intelligent people. So who are they? Inna fi khalqi samawati wal ardi wa ikhtilafi al-layli wan nahari la ayat li ulil albab. Who are the intelligent people? Then Allah is saying, الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهِ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَىٰ جُنُوبِهِمْ. Intelligent people in this world are those who are in the habit of taking the name of Allah, the Isme Zat, the name Allah itself, they are the most intelligent. Yadhkurun Allah. And the Quran is saying they take the name of Allah when they are standing, when they are sitting, qu'ud, وَعَلَىٰ جُنُوبِهِمْ, and any other posture that your body can turn to. And basically at all times, if the tongue is not taking the name of Allah, then the heart is remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they are the most intelligent people in this world. The Quran is telling us that whilst living in this dunya, Allah has given you the flexibility to enjoy this dunya. You can eat the best food. Someone was telling me yesterday, Mauli Sahab, my prawn level has gone down. What did he say to me? My prawn level has gone down. So I told him, I says, don't worry, we will go and we will get it to the right level. Don't worry. If your prawn level has gone down, no problem. We'll have to get it to the right level. Kya hua isme? Allah Pak is not saying you can't eat food, you can't enjoy. Allah is saying that flexibility in this dunya, that enjoyment Allah has given you. You can eat, you can drink, you can dress up very smart. Allah has given you money, drive a very expensive car, no problem. Beautiful car you drive. Whatever people want to say, they can say. Tel lene jai. You drive your own car, don't let it bother you. You have a lot of money, you want to live nicely, comfortably in a beautiful house. That is between you and Allah, not, you know, anybody else. People can do panchat, whatever they want to do, let them do. You enjoy your life. As long as what is halal is halal. And this is the beauty of Islam. So halal is halal, enjoy. You can go for a holiday. You like someone, she is a Muslimah, a lady of good character, get married to her, mashallah, Muslimah. You can show love to her, you know. You like going somewhere, climbing mountains, traveling, do whatever you want to do. All that Allah is saying is fine. What is halal is halal. But whatever you are doing, don't forget me. Whatever you are doing, don't forget me. Why? Because every blessing that you have, the creator of that blessing is who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you have a lovely wife, who made your wife lovely? If you have a lovely garden, who made your garden lovely? If you have a lovely house, who made your house lovely? If you are traveling to a place which is very scenic and very beautiful, who made that, you know, venue beautiful and scenic? Allah. If Allah has blessed you with lovely children, who gave you lovely children? Everything reverts back to who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything goes back to Allah. And so even in the last session, I touched on this topic, that the name of Allah is what makes us very, very strong. The name of Allah is what makes us spiritually very, very powerful. That is why you will see in the Quran, there are many attributive names of Allah, which I read in Maghrib today. But how does it start? Hu Allah. What is it? He is Allah. And then the names of Allah. Alimul Ghaib, Wash-Shahada, Rahman, Rahim, Malik, Quddus, Salam, Mu'min, Muhaymin, Aziz, Jabbar, Mutakabbir, Khalik, Bari, Musawwir, Ghaffar, Kahar, Wahab, Razak, Fattah, Alim, Qabiz, Qabiz, Basit, Rafi, everything. All the names of Allah are there. But you will find throughout the Quran the name of Allah to be everywhere. The name of Allah everywhere. Adhan starts with Allah, ends with Allah. Namaz starts with Allah, ends with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so having a relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very, very, very important. Now some people feel shaitan likes to make people think that, you know what, oh, the name of Allah and the tasbih that we should be doing is for some waliullah and for some buzrugs, not for us. We are not buzrugs. Inna lillah. This is from shaitan. At any opportunity you are given to take the name of Allah, that is a ni'mat from Allah. Our scholars have mentioned that the name of Allah is so miraculous in its nature, when you utter it, when you say the name Allah, that even if a person all his life has disobeyed Allah, but once with love he had said Allah, this name will warrant him entry into Jannah. Even once. Can you imagine that, my respected brothers? That is why, alhamdulillah, the name of Allah, Isme Zat, is very, very important. And that we always do the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It also comes in the hadith that the name of Allah is stopping Israfil from blowing into the sur. The name of Allah is stopping Hazrat Israfil from blowing into the sur. Now, what is a sur? A sur is some kind of a tool that is given to this angel, and by blowing into it, a sound comes out. Some people say the trumpet and things like that, you know. It's not as simple as that. The Quran calls it sur. And so Israfil has put the sur very close to its mouth. That when my Allah gives me the order, I will blow into the sur, and this sound will come out from the sur, reaching every part of the world. In Japan, what happens is that when there is this possibility of a tsunami or an earthquake, they have sirens. What do they have? Sirens. And this siren, everyone can hear it in the city. And when the siren is on, mashallah, people will know what to do. They will go wherever they have to go, and you know, wherever there's safety, in their bunkers or wherever, they will go there. And there is this siren. Ooh, everybody knows. In the early 80s, in Haram Sharif, I remember that when you could actually see the mountains, when Sehri would end, the Saudi government would have like a cannon that would be shot. And everybody could hear it. I don't know what it was, but it was like a cannon, as if it's being shot, and everybody would know that it's time now to close your roza. And so sometimes you will find that even in the modern world that we live in, to inform people, people are informed through different means. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also end this dunya by this siren, by this noise that will come out from the sur. And this noise that comes out from the sur, whoever hears that immediately will collapse and die. Every single one will die. This is called nafkhe sur. So the first sur will be where everyone will fall unconscious, they will collapse and everyone will die. But Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, this will not happen if there is also one person saying Allah. Look at the power in the name of Allah. This will not happen. Dunya will function because there is also one person who is taking the name of Allah. But when such will be the kufr at that time, that there will be no one to take the name of Allah, and Allah would have decreed for the last day and the day of Qiyamah to happen, even then, for a period of time, Israfil will still wait, because that is the barakat of the name of Allah. The effects of the names of Allah are still suspended in the air. He will still wait. And then when there is no one and no trace of someone saying Allah, then this will be the end of this dunya. The moon will collapse, the stars will come down, the sun will come down from its orbit. Everything, subhanallah, will come to an end. This is what the Quran says, kullu man alayha fan. Everything has got an expiry date, fana, hone wali cheez hai. But what I am saying here, my respected brothers, for us to understand the power that is there in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And who has given us this na'mat that we can utter and chant and do the tasbih of the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayh, muhaddis-e-azam of his time, who for many, many years worked very hard to compile the book of hadith, the words of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, with his conditions, which were very, very strict conditions. For every hadith he would do ghusl, and every hadith he would read two rakats, and then he would have this ruhani, you know, meditation, this spiritual meditation that he would do, sit in the masjid of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he would include the statement and every saying of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam in his kitab. So how he starts his kitab is unique, and how he ends his book is very unique. Now imagine, Imam Bukhari was not an Arab. He was not an Arab. In fact, he was from Uzbekistan, in that part of the region, Ma Wara'un Nahar, where you have Russia today, that section, the Riyasat of the Muslims that is there. Imam Bukhari lived there and Allah chose him to serve the deen of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Which hadith did he select to be the last hadith that will end his masterpiece work of Al-Jami'us Sahih, which is the real name of this kitab, Al-Jami'us Sahih, which we know is Bukhari Sharif. And he chose the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, again referring to the name of Allah. And he said, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam has mentioned, whilst mentioning the chain of narrators, and he says, قَالَ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, كَلِمَتَانِ حَبِيبَتَانِ إِلَى الرَّحْمَانِ There are two words that are very beloved to Rahman. Now it was enough for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam only to say this. For a person to have this desire and to be anxious that subhanallah, if these two words are beloved to Rahman, then you know what are the two words? You're anxious, you want to know quickly. But look at the style of kalam of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. How he speaks. This tells you about his intelligence. Who he was, how he would speak. He didn't end there. And then he said, these two words are beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After that he said, خَفِيفَتَانِ عَلَى lisan. And these two words are very simple on the tongue. It's not a tongue twister. It's not a tongue twister. Jaise wo qari log kehte hain na huruf isti'la, khuzza, zaqtin, qiz, and you know, huruf qalqala, and all these words sometimes, qutubu jaddin, and you know, your full mouth and your empty mouth and your, you know, all the huruf that are there sometimes, it's a bit difficult. So Allah's Nabi is saying, actually, these two words, statements, are beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and another thing, it's very easy to pronounce. Look how beautifully Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is creating this shauq, this love in the hearts. So he said, these words are very easy on the tongue. But it was enough for him to even say, stop here, but he still didn't. And then he went on to say, actually, ثَقِيلَتَانِ فِي الْمِيزَانِ Subhanallah. And they will be very, very heavy on the scales on the day of Qiyamah. Subhanallah. How Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would speak. Look at his intellect, his intelligence, how he is putting forward such an important message of the name of Allah. And Imam Bukhari chooses this hadith to end his masterpiece work, that Allah's Nabi said two words are beloved to Allah, that was sufficient. But Allah's Nabi went on, no, easy, it's not a tongue twister, it's very easy. The zikr is very easy. Not only is it easy, but it's very heavy on the mizan, very heavy. You know, you have some people who may look, you know, skinny or don't have much aggression, but subhanallah, you know, divinely Allah has given them a lot of power. Sometimes you see this. So Allah is saying, you know, it's easy on the tongue, but on mizan it will be very heavy. And then Allah's Nabi said, subhanallah wa bihamdihi subhanallahil azim. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi subhanallahil azim. What a tasbih. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. In the hadith it comes, the one who reads subhanallah wa bihamdihi 100 times in a day, if his sins are equivalent to the foam that you see in the floods, where you see what the waves that are crashing on the subhanallah wall, and you see those, the bubbles that are there. Do you see the bubbles? Small, 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 small bubbles. In the millions and billions that is there. Even if your sins are equivalent to the bubbles in the ocean, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will delete and forgive all your guna. This is the power in the name of Allah subhanallah. Subhanallah, subhanallah, wa bihamdihi. Now, my respected brothers, what is subhan? What is the meaning of subhan? There is two ways a person can praise someone. So let's take for an example Umar here. I'm going to start to praise him. I'll say, MashaAllah, you know, Umar is handsome. Umar prays his namaz. This one way I can praise him. Another way is generally the negative that a person should not have, praise him in that way. Umar is not a miser. He's also not very stubborn. He's not a jealous person. He's not a thief. And all the evil I remove from him. So that is also another way of praising a person. No problem. One is the positive way and one is to remove all the negative from a person. That is also another way. Subhan means that Allah, you are absolutely free from every kind of defect. What I? Free from every kind of defect. That is why, my respected brothers and elders, very simple, you can't see Allah, you can't sketch Allah, you can't draw Allah. The minute you can sketch Allah, you can draw Allah, you can see Allah, you have already downgraded God Almighty. But when you have a mental picture, you have made that God so low that the deficiency of your brain, even your brain is limited, and your brain that is limited now can capture who Allah is. And this is not the sifat of Allah. This is not the God that as we as Muslims worship. So you will see in every other religion the concept of God will always have defects inside it. Always. I asked one person, and I'm not saying this out of, you know, hatred for any community, not at all. Education is very important. Education is very important. And what we are saying is already what is there. Integral part of faith. It is their integral part of faith. So there is nothing to be ashamed of. If we as Muslims don't eat pork and you say we don't eat pork, it's fine. If our women do parda and if you say in your audience Muslim women cover themselves, no problem. We are proud of the fact that you are educating your audience of our faith. So I said to someone, I says, you know, in front of your God, with respect, you know, we respect all faiths and religion. What I don't understand is that when you give food, how and what is the logic of giving food to a statue? You understand what I'm saying? An intelligent man gives food to a human being, to the animals, to things that are alive and who require sustenance. So why do you present food to the gods that you are worshipping? So no, it's a kind of puja. It's a kind of puja. So what happens is that if we have guests that come to our house, we will immediately prepare food for them. So we do that also with the gods. But if you are doing it with the guests will eat and drink the food. But what about the food that you present to the gods? Now as a layman, if people who have this question, you know, nicely when you put this question forward, immediately it will tell you that there are problems and there is deficiency and defects in the God that you are presenting. But as for Islam, very simple. Allah does not eat, Allah does not drink, Allah does not sleep. You know, we have no pressure, we have no problem. So when you paint a picture of God, or when you sketch some form of a God, or when you have, you know, an idol or anything that is there, a picture, immediately that thing cannot be God. It just cannot be God. It's not God. That's why in Islam, Allah has never ever allowed a human being, the people of Iman, to describe Him. You can only know Him by His attributes. Because otherwise you're downscaling, downgrading, and deficiency and weakness is inside a human being. That is why, my respected brothers and elders, as time goes, it's not progression, it is decline. What is it? It's not progression, it is decline. And this is the law of physics, you know, everything declines. But khair, what happens is that you see there's a problem here. Why are you giving food to these gods who are not going to eat eventually? Who is going to eat that? Problematic. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is subhan, free from every kind of defect. Every kind of defect. He does not sleep. His knowledge surpasses every kind of knowledge. He knows everything. He is alim, alim, alim. He knows your past, your future, your present, everything he knows. Problematic. If you look at another religion of this world, which in numbers they say, I don't believe, is even more than Islam, Christianity. I personally am of an opinion, it's my opinion, you know, people can differ. I think in the world today there are more Muslims than any other member of any faith. That is what I say. Because you see, you know, people like to give you statistics. They made up, you know, programs and adverts, and our own statistics are this, that, this, that. But I personally believe that Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam's ummah is far more in this world. Far more. But khair, that is another topic. Now, you have this imaginary, not an imaginary, hakikat, you know, you are picturing some form of a god that is a human being, and that god is part of another god, and he is part of that god taken out, and he is called Jesus, but he is a human god. Now, look at the confusion it creates. You understand what I'm saying? We haven't even gone on to Hinduism. Hinduism mein to aadmi fir tap ho jata hai. But he is part of one god, and he is taken out, and he is another god. Okay, fine. Why would you want to promote a symbol of torture? Idris, you understand what I'm trying to say? Mashallah. Hushar aadmi hai ye. What is the symbol of torture? What is it? The crucifix. Now you are showing the crucifix and people are wearing this, and you are blessing people with the crucifix when the crucifix is what? What? Symbol of torture. You have nailed an innocent man, nailed him. You can't even watch this. You know, it would be difficult for youngsters to watch this, the young to watch, you know, somebody being nailed, you know, nailed. Zara soche aap, yahan like this, imagine, and your legs are like this. And then your legs is not one nail per leg. It's one massive nail, one nail that goes through both your feet, and it's smacked into you with a hammer whilst you're alive. You're screaming basically. Ji? Naked as well. Ji, yeah, bilkul. Naked. One little towel and absolute naked. Your thighs are open, you know. Can you imagine the pain? Can you imagine the pain? You know, like this, nails and bleeding. And then the weight of your body is carried by the nails that is there. Slowly, it rips your whole skin apart for you to come down. Now this kind of torture, but when people say the merciful God, the merciful God, we don't understand this. So Allah is saying, I am Subhan. Look and use your intelligence. You are worshipping Allah. How fortunate you are that you are worshipping Allah. Allah does not allow for you human sacrifice. Am I right or am I wrong? Yeah. Allah is free from defects. So you are worshipping that Allah, free from defect. Now this human being is there. Okay, why are we putting Jesus in this situation to suffer according to the Bible, not according to Islam? Remember that, not according to Islam, according to the Bible. So the answer that is given to us is, so that because of his death, so that means God died. Look at the problem here. God had to die to redeem and to compensate for the sins of mankind. So which sin are we talking about? Bichare Jesus. Can you imagine the years from Adam alayhi salam to Jesus? Does it make sense that Allah placed Jesus to come second last from all the prophets? And there's a gap of all these generations who've never heard of Jesus. They don't know who Jesus is. And Jesus came and he is put there and all of a sudden made to be the Son of God. So that when, can you imagine the punishment? Can you think about it? Adam alayhi salam, let's say, had one bite of an apple. Example, whatever he did. One bite of an apple, for that Jesus had to be smacked on the cross with a nail, aliyazu billah, and that suffering. For one bite of an apple, can that be God Almighty? I'm trying to open it up for the brothers so that we need to appreciate our deen by what is our deen. For that one bite, all the time from Adam alayhi salam, Nuh alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, Sulaiman alayhi salam, Dawud alayhi salam, everybody was labeled sinful, gunegar, 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 gunegar. So Allah is saying, I am Subhan. Allah, I am Subhan. Allah is saying, I am Subhan. Subhanallah. So how are you Subhan? Allah is saying, if you have committed a sin and you are not to disclose your sin even to your father, to your mother, to your wife, to your children, even to your sheikh. Don't disclose it. That is between you and I, because I am Ghafoor, Ghaffar and Ghafir, and I will forgive all your sins. So which God do we want to worship, my respected brothers? The one who is Ghafir, Ghafoor and Ghaffar, who is Allah, who is Subhan. So this is why Imam Bukhari ended his masterpiece work with the hadith, Subhanallah, wa bihamdihi, Subhanallahil Azim, to show the people that your God, the Allah that you are worshipping, he is Subhan, free from every kind of defect. You look and analyze every other religion, and they will have some kind of a sketching of a God, this, that, picture of Jesus, Moses, or anybody. But Islam, that reverence that is there, never mind Allah, we don't have pictures of our Nabi also. We don't even have pictures of our Anbiya. Because we don't downgrade anyone. They are above that. They are above any pen, paper, sketching, drawing, any kind of, you know, image. They are above all that. So that is why Allah has not revealed himself to us. Because we are living in this world which has got an expiry date. And something that has got an expiry date cannot understand that Zat of Allah which is eternal. But samajh mein aaya nahi mere aziz. So that is the power of Subhanallah. Subhanallah. That is why I've also mentioned one before. You know, in India, There are many gods that are worshipped with respect, just out of education I am saying. So people must know. There are many idols and gods that people worship in India. But the most worshipped god in India, do you know? Do you know? Ji, anyone knows? Ji? Who said that? Ah, Yunus, my friend. Ye mera khas aadmi hai yaar. Allah give you barakat in your life. Make your children pious. Ganesh. Ganesha. So Ganesha, who is Ganesha? Now, Allah is saying, I am Subhan, you know, free from every kind of defect. I am the creator, maker of everything, the heavens and the earth. Okay. Alhamdulillah. We believe that, of course, that is our iman. Now, you trying to show God and you've got a picture and a mental picture of God. The minute you have a mental picture, problems already start. So now you see who is Ganesha. Ganesha was created by a woman called Parvati. By a woman called Parvati. So Parvati, with the earth, she molded a young boy. What did she do? She molded a young boy, Parvati. Parvati is a goddess. So, she molded a young boy. And with her powers, this young boy then became Ganesha. Became alive, who later on becomes another god. You understand? So there was no biological relationship with Parvati. Itni baat samjh mein aayi? And the lady named this molded child, which later on became alive, as Ganesha. So Ganesh had a beautiful body, whatever, he had a head and everything. Whilst the husband of Parvati, Shiva, is out somewhere. And for many years he's out or whatever. So he left the wife. And then one day he decides to come back to the house. And Ganesha became very possessive about the mother. So she was having a bath. So Ganesha said, Mom, I'm going to be at the front door. Whilst you're having a bath, nobody can just come in like that. So he was there like a guard, bodyguard. And comes who? Shiva. Shiva comes and Shiva says, huh? Who is this young guy at my house? You know. And when Shiva wanted to come into the house, surprisingly there was no communication between the two. These were gods, but they didn't communicate. And all of a sudden fighting took place. And there was a lot of fighting. You know, Ganesha fought well. He was a warrior. Shiva was a warrior. He started fighting. Parvati is having a bath. And by the time she comes out from the bathroom, Shiva takes the sword and decapitates. Am I using the right word in English? Eh? Decapitate ka mana kya hota hai? Sar kalam. Kya? So you know what he did? The head was taken out. The head was this side, the body was this side. Parvati comes and she started to cry. What are you doing? So who was this man? It was not a man, this boy, our boy, this boy. Anyway, she got angry and says, you know what, if you don't bring him back alive, you know, I will do this. Now imagine, she had already created him with the earth, but now she's saying, you have to bring him alive. So Shiva decides, what am I going to do? So he said to his people, okay, you know what, the first thing that you see out there, kill him and get the head. Oh, bichara elephant was walking by. Iski kismat bichari. The poor elephant was around, I don't know what. And they saw this elephant, all of them grabbed them, elephant came, katak, kya kar diya? They took the head out and this transplant that was done, the elephant was then put onto the head of this Ganesh. And this boy then became alive and became a prominent figure in Hinduism, Ganesha and Ganesh, and he is worshipped. Now imagine, my respected brothers and elders, compare this concept to the name of Allah, Subhan. Allah is free from every kind of deficiency. You can write a book just on this incident. For an inquiring mind, to ask that, hang on, actually, we don't understand all of these things. But look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What a beautiful religion Allah has given us. What a beautiful religion that we worship Allah. And there is no problem in understanding the Zat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. There is much that can be said, but inshallah we end here. So subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanallahi lazim. One is the isme zat of Allah. That is the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one is the concept and the attribute of subhan, that Allah is free from every kind of defect, deficiency, anything that is illogical to your mind. So that is why you'll find in other religions, gods get married, they have children, and this god is this, this god is that, that god is this, this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ends everything. Allahu samad. How beautiful is that? Kul hu Allahu ahad. Ahad is not wahid. Ahad means there is nothing that your mind can comprehend of the Zat of Allah. He is uncomparable. Bas khatam. Uncomparable. Lam yalid wa lam yulad. You know, you people have children and this relationship. Allah is completely free from every kind of shirk. Completely one. There is no beginning, no ending. This is the Zat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why the most intelligent people in this world are those who love Allah. Who love Allah and who call upon Allah with His attributes. And we need to make sure that we as parents love Allah and we feed into the younger generation the love of Allah. The love of Allah. And inshallah, when we have the love of Allah, this will build a solid foundation of iman for every one of us. Allah harik wa tawfiq de. Allahumma taqabbal minna wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Sami'na wa ata'na ghufranaka rabbana wa ilayka al-masir bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.